She knows every move that a man could make. She knows every trick in the book. She knows how to give. She knows how to take. For so many times she's been taken a fool by those alibis and lying eyes and all the best lies. Lord knows she's heard them all. She's been cheated on and pushed around and left alone. Lord knows what I put her through. She knows how to make one on you. She once thought that love wasn't just a game. Her feelings once came from the heart. One day I gave her a wedding ring. Tore all those feelings apart. With my alibis and lying eyes and all the best lies, Lord knows she's heard them all. She's been cheated on and pushed around and left alone. Lord knows what I put her through.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio, Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you,
or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
All right, now if I have done everything correctly, you should be hearing my voice right about now, which is getting to be a little bit more of a regular thing. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It's the 9th of January, 2017. My word. And it's a Monday. So we've let me check my chat room here and see what's going on. The No, it's now who in the world is this 3% chief here, or 3-3 chief, whatever it is? Haven't ever seen that name in here before, but welcome to the Shooting Bench anyway. I probably know who you are, just not by that name there. All right. Well, a lot of stuff went on over the weekend. We've had yeah, Peanut Rider, that's a big deal right there. I'm going to try not to run that in the ground there, but it is only 11 days until the inauguration. We'll see what happens when that comes up. But we've talked about it enough already, so we'll save that until the day before and the day after and see what happens. So it looks like Deschutes, glad to see you in here tonight again. And if it's loud, I can probably change that. I'm still learning settings and stuff on here. Let me see if I can knock this down just a little bit for you. Let's see. Now, is that how's that? Is that a little bit better? Let me know, and I'll save that setting there if that works a little better. I've had to, for those of you that haven't been on for a little while, which includes me, because I had a lot of computer problems there for about a month or so. And I was on and off again and got interrupted in the middle of shows and whatnot, but we've kind of got everything with the help of a couple of folks here. I think we've got everything back up and running again, but there's a little bit of a learning curve on this broadcaster here, so we'll just have to make do with what we got here for a little while. All right, we had the what all have we had since we was on last? We had a shooting at the airport in Florida. We covered that one, and Iowa Cat, you have no idea how frustrated I was. Probably about as much as y'all were, but anyway. I'm getting it over it slowly but surely. So let me get in here and check. I've got a whole bunch of new stuff on my crystal ball here. I checked it a little bit earlier. So let me get that thing fired up here. And we'll just take these here. And, you know, Amy, I didn't tell you this. Are you listening?
Yep.
You know the big redwood tree that you used to drive through?
Phyllis told me that.
It tipped over. The big redwood tree in Yosemite or Redwood National Park or National Forest or whatever the heck it is. Powerful windstorm there toppled it. Now, we could probably blame the people that cut that tunnel through there. I'm sure it took out a sizable piece of that. And while it did still have a pretty good root system, I can't imagine that was very good for it. There's quite a bit of root system missing there where they took that tunnel out. So, but nevertheless, it has been a great source of awe and amusement and everything for people for however many years. They say the tree was about 1,000 years old or more than 1,000 years old.
And the bad thing about it is, though, is inside that thing there are some carvings in the wood in the tunnel there that did date back to the 1800s, late 1800s, mid-1800s. And and those are, unless they can, you know, cut some of them out of there and save some of them somehow, I don't know how bad it's destroyed. They say it pretty well collapsed. When it hit the ground, it pretty well ruined it. So I don't know if they'll be able to salvage any of that or not, but it's been standing up there for a long, long time. They say these trees can get to a height of 325 feet. That's a pretty good sized stick right there. They said they hollowed it out in the 1880s. So it's been hollowed out for 140 years, or almost 140 years, 130 something. So, yeah, Mountain Shooter, that's a pile of firewood there. Ain't no doubt about that. But anyway, sorry to hear that. But it is a living thing. It was going to go sooner or later. It's 1,000 years old. I guess it's probably pretty well served its purpose. And we hear of people that. We've talked several times. Matter of fact, there's a fairly new story about people that are feeding the homeless and getting fined for it and getting in, jailed for it and everything else, which I really don't understand. No one's ever been able to explain to me anything that even remotely resembles a logical explanation for why that happens. But now there's a guy here that has been fined for clearing snow for his elderly neighbors. This is in Pocatello, Idaho. Now, I thought, since I have been I've been to Idaho many, many times, I used to live there. Lived up in St. Mary's for a while and lived in Genesee for a little bit. And I thought people up there had a little more sense than this. But this guy said he's just being a good neighbor and clearing snow in front of houses. And now he's facing a $200 fine from the city for putting snow out on the street. Now, there's something about this that I'm really not getting. Because when they plow the snow, they throw it right up on the sidewalk over your cars, block your driveways, and everything else. And if you're just shoveling a sidewalk and you're throwing that little bit off on the whatever's on the sidewalk out in the street, they're going to fine him $200 for that? I've got a bit of a problem with that. I don't know if there's, why he didn't throw it back in the people's yards. I don't know if it's so high on that side, or if there's a hedge there, or if it's too close to the house, or what. I don't know why that is, but I certainly can't imagine that throwing a little bit of snow off the sidewalk into the street is really that big of a deal. But he says he's going to keep doing it, and he said in spite of the fine and everything else, the financial loss to him, he said it's not going to stop him. He's going to help his neighbors clear his sidewalks and streets and whatever he needs to help these old people be able to get around out there. So, and Peanut Rider, I'm afraid you're probably right, though. Any excuse whatsoever to collect a little money. It's all about money. It's strictly another revenue generator there. Hey, there's somebody shoveling snow. There's a kid with a lemonade stand and no business license. So let's shut them down. Find the parents, find the kids. We'll take those last two quarters they just made and put them in the city treasury there. William Aguilar, glad you made it up here. Haven't seen you in a long time, though. Outstanding. Folks, we got a newbie there, William Aguilar. We haven't talked for a while. Matter of fact, I don't think you've ever been on here. I've talked on Facebook with you a few times. Looks like he's managed to escape California and now lives in Utah. That's outstanding. that live in Utah, there is a somewhat of a possibility when I head up that way, we may be able to meet up and go get a Coke or something one day. Living in California, that was not going to happen. So at least you have a chance now. Maybe we can get together and visit one of these days. Every time I travel to a class or a rally or something like that, and I happen to be going through an area where I know there's some listeners, I make the best effort that I can to try to at least swing by and say hi for a few minutes. And I've done that quite a bit everywhere, Indiana and Ohio and Texas, quite a few in Arizona, New Mexico, and the Four Corners. And we've got several new listeners in Utah we've stopped and talked to. We actually did when we had to make a trip to California for Amy's family or whatever it was, when we went out there for various events here. We managed to visit with a few people from California that listened. Quite a few in Washington, Oregon, Idaho. So we get around a little bit. So congratulations on your escape. And that's what. All right. Let's. I can't spend any more time on this because I don't know what else to say. They're getting kids for lemonade stands and shoveling snow. Remember here. I think it was last winter. There are two or three boys got shut down. They were charging people something like, I don't know, $6 an hour or something, if I remember correctly, and for shoveling snow. And they got in trouble for doing that without a business permit, a business license. Unbelievable. Yeah, William, if you're in Provo, there's a good chance I do make it through Provo, at least a couple of times a year. So I'll put you on my list of things to do here, and we'll see if we can make that happen here one of these days. All right, let's move along. Where are we at? Let me get my... Numerous times over the last 10 years, we've talked about cops going in and shooting people's dogs. Remember that one cop that cut that pit bull's throat with his pocket knife and just all kinds of stuff. Well, in Kansas now, there was a family here that's not very happy with the game wardens there where they killed a game wardens killed a deer that they'd considered a pet. I mean, this wasn't just one that came in the yard and let them pet it. This really was a pet. This deer is in the house. He's got his front legs, it's a little doe, a little mule deer doe, got her front legs up on the couch looking out the window, and said it's very much a big pet. But the deer, they named the deer Feline after Bambi's friend in the Disney movie. Anyway, the deer's allowed in the house. It goes on walks with the family, or it did. But it's illegal to keep a wild animal in Kansas without a permit. And wildlife officials, and I use that term very loosely, I think it's probably more likely wildlife morons, jackbooted thugs with no common sense whatsoever, no compassion for animals or people, either one. Wildlife morons raised concerns that the animal could hurt people or spread disease. It's not uncommon, I guess. Every once in a while you hear of a deer hurting somebody. How many times do you hear of a dog hurting somebody? Dogs bite people. Cats scratch people. Pet ducks peck people. I mean, every animal out there, the potential for injury with pretty much everything but a goldfish. So the chances of being attacked by a rabid doe, I think, is probably pretty slim. But anyway, yeah, and spreading disease, and I just excuses just ticks me off. Anyway, he said the neighbors found the deer and that she had an instant connection upon meeting the animal. The daughter has pictures of her 8-year-old son playing with the deer, as well as the animal standing on the couch looking out the window or being hugged by family members. Game wardens got involved when they... Now, here's another good reason for being careful what you say on Facebook. Got on Facebook and asked whether anyone had seen the deer when it disappeared for a few days. And they were issued a ticket for unlawful possession of wildlife without a permit. Three game wardens showed up at the house and determined that it wouldn't be safe to capture the deer. So they said there was also a concern that the deer could be carrying chronic wasting disease, a fatal disease for which deer cannot be tested. Well, even if it did, is it more likely if deer can't be tested, what about all the deer out in the woods? If it's a danger to anybody, this deer that pretty much lives in the house and in these people's yards, effectively quarantined from the wild deer around there, seems to me that it was relatively safe. But they said they herded the deer out towards where it was shot, shot it right in front of the family and everything. The family's just absolutely beside themselves about it. But anyway, that's your tax dollars, or I guess if you're in Kansas, that's your tax dollars at work. This kind of stuff really, really ticks me off. Okay, let's go into, well, you know, I'm gonna save this one till after the break here. Here, this one won't take too long. This one, I didn't know, I guess it would have been easy enough to look it up. I never thought about it. But, Radio Doc says he was attacked by a box of goldfish. I didn't realize that Congress had, at all this time, right now, for only the fourth time ever, how old is our country now? 200 and quite a few years old? How many times has Congress convened? For the fourth time ever, Congress read the entire Constitution on the floor of the House. Only four times in history. That says a lot for if this was done and if it was mandatory every single time they come in session, or at least once a year. Let's say once a year. Obviously, for the last 8 years, they've been ignoring it. But if they would do that, maybe they would have a little better understanding of it, and maybe some they'd realize that some of the laws that they're voting on and coming up with are grossly unconstitutional, completely illegal, and they do it anyway. And of course, I watched this one time, and at that time, I didn't realize. I thought it was a regular thing. I thought they did it. They did it once in. Well, let's see. I don't know if it says in this story or not. Let's see here. See if we can tell what years they did it. Well, it doesn't say here. But I've got it recorded. Where they did it here, and it seemed like it was, five, six, seven years ago or something like that. And it probably wouldn't be too hard to look up. Why don't one of y'all look that up and let me know? But I was furious to watch them do this, because while they were reading it, not all of the people, like you would like to think that we pay them for, were really paying attention and going through this. There were some of them that were just kicked back, you know, with their eyes closed, several of them on their phones and whatnot, not paying any attention to what was going on. At Radio Doc, it is very much new material to most of them, and that's why they ought to read it once a year. They ought to start the year out. Only four times in history. I mean, even if they only did it when a new president comes in and they get a new, you know, a lot of new people. I realize that there's new people that come in between those years also. But every time a president is inaugurated, sometime in early in that year, at least that would be, you know, 45 times that they would have done it instead of four. I just don't understand that at all. Of course, there's a whole lot of things that I don't understand about what happens out there. So we had the there's a story out there on Facebook. There's a couple things you guys need to know about it. Everybody responded to this. Yay, that's cool. Yeah, that's what they get. Well, there's a story out there that talks about the six people dead after a truck collides with anti-Trump protesters on the freeway. And as far as I'm concerned, you play stupid games, win stupid prizes. However, the story is not true. As much as some people might like to believe that it was true, it's not. And several things will help you to understand or help you figure out that it's not true. One of them, it says that they were, that this happened in, where was it? Seattle or, give me a second here and let me see where it was at. But it was somewhere where Interstate 15 does not run. And I think it was Seattle or Spokane or somewhere. But anyhow, and the other thing is, you need to understand when you see these stories on Facebook, and it comes from the... well, that'll give me an idea. Yeah, what's Seattle? If it comes from the Seattle Tribune, right there, you automatically ignore it. There is no such thing as a Seattle Tribune. The SeattleTribune.com is a satire site that plays this, that talks about this kind of stuff all the time. We've been through this before. It is not a real newspaper. It's not a real nothing. It's just a place that spreads lies and misinformation. So, I guess that's all the time I need to spend on that. Now what I need to do is figure out the easiest, quickest way to, this is the part that I need to work on a little bit, guys, so forgive me for holding you up here, but I'm going to figure this out. When it comes to break time, there's a couple of things I need to do here. So, I think in the interest of time, what I'll do is just play another song. Let's see. Let's throw this one up there. This will be all right for now. All right. We're in like Flint,
it's time,
I think,
for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this
No, that's not. That is not what I started to do here. I'll get it figured out. I promise I will. Here we go.
I'll be back.
Yeah, there you go.
I've held it all in. God knows I've tried.
Well, it's an awful way in a country boy's life. Look in the mirror in total surprise at the hair on my shoulder, the age in my eyes. Amanda, light of my life, fate should have made you a gentleman's wife. Amanda, light of my life, fate should have made you a gentleman's wife. It's a measure of people who don't understand the pleasures of life in a hillbilly band. I got my first guitar when I was 14. Well, I finally made 40, still wearing jeans. Light of my life, fate should have made a gentleman's wife. Amanda, light of my life, fate should have made a gentleman's wife.
Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
Yeah, we trust it. Okay, we managed to muddle through that one all right. So let's see if I got. Yep, I pushed the right button. We should be talking. All right, very nice. He shoots to see Glenn about 1911. Trying to read this without punctuation. Glad you brought 1911. Cope, mine is at the shop. Glad you brought 1911. Cope, mine is at the shop. I'll figure that out here in a little bit. All right. No, I didn't bring a 1911 to shoot. Not going to happen. Thanks, Iowa Cat. Appreciate that. Okay, let's go back here to the one that I wanted to do after the break here. This happened just, I think, yesterday. Yeah, happened yesterday. This was down in southern New Mexico. See, I have a real, real bad problem with this. There was a young guide down there, hunting guide. They were hunting Barbary sheep, and they had clients down there with an RV, and I'm not sure how many people there were as far as the guides go. There would be a guide and one guy on his side helping him, and I think both their wives were there. I think they were near his house, and the RV was the client's RV was parked there. Rolex, no way. Actually, they make a they don't make it anymore. But Arcadia Machine and Tool AMT used to make a 22 Magnum in a 1911 style frame, and I didn't buy one of those either. No, but if they made one in a Glock, I'd sure be all over it. Anyway, these guys were hunting there, and he heard someone talking, went out there to see what it was, and there were multiple people positioned. These were illegal aliens, multiple illegal aliens positioned around the house in strategic places there, and they started shooting at him. The guy's name is Walker Doherty. He's 26 years old. He's from Chloride, New Mexico. And he was trying to stop the guys from taking the RV. And hey, what happened? The clients were inside, and they were trying to take the RV with the people in it. So it probably wasn't the RV that was the deal. It was probably more of a kidnapping ransom type deal, would be my guess. But a spokesman for the family said that everyone was in bed getting ready for an early hunt, and the guides and cooks inside the house and the clients in the rental RV parked outside. Guy heard voices, went out to see what it was, and he saw men with guns trying to take the RV, and he ran back inside to get help. Him and the guy that worked for him armed themselves and went out to defend and protect the client and to attempt to deter the assailants while the hunter attempted to escape in the RV, which was being shot at repeatedly. The vehicle is riddled with bullet holes from the attack and suffered other structural damage. The attack lasted long enough for him to run back to the house and get more ammunition. When he was close to the door, his sister saw him get out and get shot, and she was able to drag him inside the house away from the gunfire. The women in the lodge were able to get spotty cell signal and call 911. Now, before we look at the rest of this, let's stop right there and think about this a minute. Let's go back, and you know what? Don't mistake what I'm about to say for one second as faulting this guy. I'm just saying it would seem to me, if I'd have been there, it would have been a little bit different. Not that it's any better or worse or whatever, but it just seems to me that when you're working in a place where you know that there are illegal aliens, you know that there are drug smugglers, you know that there is violence to the nth degree pretty much daily, you know, within 5 miles or so or 10 miles of where you're at, it would seem to me that when you hear voices and you hear noise outside, that you either don't go out there, you go to a window and take up a firing position somewhere and try to figure out what's going on, or if you do go outside, you should go out there well-armed and probably not alone. And I'm not armchair quarterback in this. I'm saying that in my mindset, this is the way I would have done it had it been me. The second thing is, now to have to, this is a hunter, to have to go back inside. You went outside, see what's going on. You have to go back inside and arm yourself. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around that one. But second thing is this sentence right here. How many times have we talked about this on the show? The women in the lodge were able to get a spotty cell signal and call 911. Folks, when you're in a remote area like that, you need to have ham radio communication. I know about where they're at, and I know that there's a couple of towers, a couple of repeaters they should be able to reach from there. If not, then maybe they should have a booster for their cell phone so that they get better service or something. You don't go out in that, not in the 21st century. There is no reason not to have communication. No reason. Satellite phones are not that expensive. You can get a satellite phone. The cheapest one that we found, I helped get one set up for the Finnegans out there on the ranch. I said, you guys are out there. There's no cell service out there. There's no nothing. There's no repeaters around here. You can't reach it with a standard little radio. You probably get a couple of 50-watt radios on each end. You could probably do it. But that's not feasible when you're riding a horse around. So, you know, I talked them into getting a satellite phone. And the one that they had for the amount of minutes that they were using, which wasn't a whole lot, but it was way, way more than enough to get them by from month to month and have minutes left over. It was like $65. So that was... The satellite phone works anywhere. So here in the 21st century, there is no excuse not to have communication. So anyway, yeah, Chief put up a site there. I was going to talk about that in a second. A GoFundMe site for this guy. He had started out when I saw that earlier today. He had $3,700. Of a $10,000 target deal. Well, they raised the target up to $30,000. Last time I looked, several hours ago, he was up to $17,000. So that's going to help a whole lot in his medical. He was shot in the original story said he was shot in the chest. He was not shot in the chest. He was shot in the abdomen. But still, with a more than likely an AK. I don't know that for sure, but I do know that AK is an extremely popular round. It could have been an AR, so I'm just speculating here. But Deschutes, I do not have HF ham radio. I probably will have here in the next couple of months, but right now I don't. But I've got everything I need to reach the entire state of Arizona and part of New Mexico from here and actually into Utah from a repeater that's 10 miles from my house. So, and for the present time, that's all I really need, although I do want to get into HF. So anyway, that's, and believe me, I'm not saying anything bad about this guy. I said I'm not trying to armchair quarterback this. I'm just saying that these are some things, these are my thoughts. When I read this story. So now this attack has the family concerned that it wasn't just an attempt to get property. They believe that they had sent this number of people and it was well armed and apparently trained, at least to some degree, because they intended to kill everybody there. And I hope that this is a lesson for other hunters and recreational, you know, rock hounds and campers and whatever else out there, that you need to, training is a wonderful thing, pretty inexpensive when you consider the benefits of it for an event like this. All right, like I said, there's a GoFundMe account set up for him if you guys... get where you can. I threw in a little donation for him this morning, and hopefully you guys can find it in your heart to get in there and help him out a little bit. He doesn't have any insurance. Doc, we said you have CB and FRS transceivers, but do have various shortwave receivers. Okay, I see what you're saying. I got you. I do have, I guess I do have HFD. Not probably in the context that you're talking about it, but I do have a very, very nice CB and set up very well thanks to Radio Doc. And it gets out there really well. So I do have HF somewhat. All right, let me get back to my crystal ball here. I need to work on this crystal ball a little bit with this new program. I need to do this a little bit differently. Okay. Well, for a little gun information here tonight, Remington has just added new gun. I'm not sure why. You know how many different models of Remington 700, bolt action Remingtons there are? Good Lord. If people buy them and they buy them enough numbers to make them, then God bless them. They make all they want to. But they've come out with a new one here. It's called the American Wilderness Rifle. And this is their latest addition to the Model 700 series called the AWR, American Wilderness Rifle. They say it's chock full of features and lets this rifle really take a beating in the field without sacrificing reliability. 24-inch barrel consists of 5R rifling, which has been designed to go longer between cleanings. Not sure why that's an issue, but the barrel is Cerakoted. Excuse me. A stainless steel barrel also surrounds the bolt shroud for additional strength, and so on and so forth. It has the same trigger in it, the X-Mark Pro adjustable trigger. You know, Jason and I took that X-Mark Pro and dissected one of those things, and I couldn't find anything in that trigger that was markedly different than the standard, had the same adjustments in the same place that do the same things that a standard 700, modern 700 trigger does. So I'm not sure why they did this unless they just named it that to get around all the numerous lawsuits that they've had for their trigger systems. But, let's see. William, we've dedicated a couple of shows over the last several months here to... Okay, Chief, I got your message. I know who you are now. Thanks for sending me that. Mountain Shooter, that's what they say, that it's a lawyer-proof trigger, but it adjusts exactly the same way as any other 700 trigger does. So I can't figure out why, unless they just named it something different to try to get out to separate it from the conventional triggers. I don't know. But, Yakima Glock says Ruger's come out with a new Red Hawk in .357 that's an 8-shot now. That's a good deal. You know, that's been one of my problems with revolvers in the 21st century here. You know, 6-shot revolvers, just not, you're looking at all these. This hunter in southern New Mexico is living proof. Hopefully he's still living proof of had needing a higher capacity. He said there was quite a few guys lined up around there, and I just don't want to go into that with a revolver. Revolvers have been great. They're good for hunting. They're still a reasonable choice for a lot of self-defense scenarios and whatnot, but you know, when you're out in the woods and places like this, it's just not my idea of having fun. I've still got a couple of revolvers, but three of them, but they're not ones that I carry all the time by any remote stretch of the imagination. Anyway, this AWR, talking about the trigger. They said it has the, I do like the stock on it. It has that gray bow stock with the brown finish and the black spider webbing in it. It looks pretty sharp, and they're good rugged stocks. Anyway, they're available only in four calibers right now, the 270, 30-06, 7mm Remington Magnum, and the 300 Win Mag. All of them at the same base price of $1,150. So that, that knocks me out of that game right there. All right. How much time we got? Doing fine. There's, yeah, we went through that already. I do have a neat story. Well, we'll save this. We need a little bit more time to talk about that one. So let's just hit this one real quick. There was a career criminal whose career come to an abrupt halt in North Carolina in an apartment Monday night. Let's see. It was last Monday. The victim, who turned out really not to be the victim, bound and gagged, managed to wiggle out of her bonds, grabbed her gun, and the rest, as they say, is history. The press release, 35-year-old Willie Franklin, found dead near the front door of the apartment about 11 p.m., said she was returning home from work when she passed this guy in the hallway of her apartment complex. He was carrying what appeared to be a bag of garbage, and she told reporters later that she remembered thinking it was strange for him to be taking out the trash that time of night, but nevertheless went on about her business. And right there should be a warning sign. If there's something wrong, if a guy is wearing a hoodie or a trench coat and it's 90 degrees outside, that's August, something's not right with that picture. Or not right with that guy, one or the other. If, if they're carrying something, doing something, saying something that doesn't fit in with the environment that they're in at the time, don't ignore that. She ignored it, and she almost paid for it. But she did pay for it if you take the psychological toll that it's going to take on her into account. But anyway, she had her keys and a drink in one hand and a cell phone in the other. As soon as she unlocked the door to her apartment, the guy turned around real quick and forced her inside, and she could see about that by that time that he had a gun. They got involved in a tussle inside there, but the guy had the upper hand, the upper more strength and whatever, and tied her hands behind her with a belt and wrapped a cell phone charger cord around her mouth. She said that when he first pinned her to the kitchen, he was afraid he was going to kill her. When he bound her and took her to the bedroom, then she figured out he was probably going to rape her. He left her tied up in the bedroom for a minute while he explored the rest of the house. While he was rummaging through the apartment, she managed to get her hands free and, unbeknownst to the bad guy, kept her handgun near the bed. He didn't check that. So she grabbed the gun, fired a single shot, hitting him in the chest. He ran down the hallway and collapsed before he got out of the apartment. Good for her. She said, I didn't know if he was dead or alive. She called 911 and listened to him while he's still grunting and laying on the floor. So, good for her. She said that she was taken to the hospital to receive treatment for minor injuries. She said altogether only lasted 5 to 7 minutes. Which still seems very much surreal. Meanwhile, investigators took her gun, the bedspread from her bed, and the items that he used to tie her up. That there's a little bit more as far as the criminal history and all that of this guy. But that's the relevant part of the story. So there was another one, and let me see if I saved it, because it kind of goes along with this. It was a single shot in the chest, and the guy didn't quite make it to the door. And if I can find this other one here, here it is. I got it. We got time to do this. We'll take time to do this. 77-year-old homeowner in Michigan. Said he shot an intruder nearly half his age and did so in self-defense. Let's see, the prosecuting attorney said that he did this in self-defense and should not be charged. Prosecutor said citizens have a right to defend themselves with the use of deadly force when there's a reasonable belief that his or her, okay, we know all that. What we don't know, or what we're fixing to know, this guy was 37 years old, accused of breaking in the 77-year-old victim's home, which he's turned out not to be a victim again. December 23rd, demanded money while being armed with a knife. The homeowner, however, was armed with a gun. What have we learned so far? Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Typically, it's not the best way. The homeowner, armed with a gun, fired four shots, which struck Irving in the stomach. The two men become involved in a tussle inside the house. Irving wrestled the gun from the homeowner. He then took off with the homeowner's truck and gun. Okay. Now, what we've learned, what it doesn't say is what caliber of gun that he had. I'm going to guess possibly 22, 32, 25, something like that. It may have been a 38 or something. I don't have any idea. I doubt it, but it was a 357 Magnum or anything with good hollow points in it. The guy was shot four times in the stomach and still took the gun away from the old feller. Luckily, he probably realized he was shot by that time, and he took off, took the truck, and they did catch him. He showed up at the hospital a little while later. And he's going to survive. But this should be a warning or a indication, I guess, that, you know, that just having a gun is not enough. The guy shot four times, shot him in the chest. I suspect that he was probably mashing that trigger and probably flinching, anticipating the shot and pulling it down too low. The story we just talked about here last was a single shot to the chest, and that was the end of that. The guy took off, run down the stairs, and tipped over before he got to the door. Good for her. But this other guy was shot four times. I've got a story. I was just looking at it. I did this story back probably almost 10 years ago when I was on AM radio. There's a story of a woman in Brooklyn. No, Brazil. Not Brooklyn. And she was shot six times, and I think four of those in the head. It was a 32, and none of them were life-threatening. There was no big rush, excuse me, to get any of those bullets extracted. None of them penetrated the skull. So I don't know if it was a 32, you know, the old-fashioned 32 short. How far away might have been a BB gun, Amy said. You know, how far away they were or what the deal was. But she was shot several times, and she survived. And the guy that was her ex-husband, she was upset because he wouldn't come back to her. So he said, well, if you won't come back, I'll just kill you. And that'll be enough of that. So there's always the argument that having any gun is better than no gun. But, you know, it probably is in some regards. But there's a limit there somewhere. You know, we could spend a lot of time on it. We have spent a lot of time on it. We've talked about it many times. But there's a limit there somewhere where it just becomes either too small or sometimes too slow or whatever the case may be. There's a window there of very effective calibers. And the 32, I just don't believe, is one of them. Will it work for someone? I've tried to talk people out of 32s when I had the store open, but there was a few times that we talked someone into 32s because we had a few elderly people, usually women, with severe arthritis. They couldn't pull a trigger on a revolver, couldn't rack the slide on most semi-automatics, couldn't handle the recoil on any of them. So we talk them into the Beretta Bobcat or the Beretta Tomcat with the tip-up barrels. So you press a little switch, the barrel tips up, drop your first round in the chamber, close the barrel, put the magazine in, and you're ready to go. So, okay, we could spend a lot more time on that, and I know it's going to generate some more discussion there, but no, Iowa Cat, you know, I wouldn't say the 22 is useless by any means, but it's a long ways from first choice. Will it work? Well, according to actual shootings, yes, it will, about 25% of the time. Sometimes the noise will be enough. Sometimes a shot to the arm or the leg or the stomach, when it's not even fatal, may be enough because people typically don't like to be shot anyway, and maybe that's enough. But it's certainly not anything you want to depend on. You got somebody that's drunk, enraged on drugs, wearing heavy coats, have something in their pockets, whatever the case may be. 22 is just not going to do it. So, but if it's what you got and it's what you can handle, well, then make it work for you. Practice with it. Use good quality bullets and good quality ammunition, and it's a heck of a lot better than a pocket full of rocks. I can promise you that. All right, well, let's see if we can figure out how to close this thing out here and see if my recording worked and all that stuff. And if it did, I'll have podcasts back up and running again. Probably not tonight, but I'll do it tomorrow. All right. Thanks for joining me, and I will see you again Wednesday night. Good night.
Well, that wraps up another edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me Monday and Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, and again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me. It all.